everyone, to the Screamcast episode 71. I am Sean DeRigger, and with me is Brad Henderson.
71?
Yeah, man.
We gotta plan our 100th episode.
That's just so much work. I got it. How about I edit together the best of the show, and we'll.
You're gonna edit 100 episodes together in one long thing because that's how good they are.
No, I will not be doing that. Well, we can do something special. Well, we will brainstorm and think of something special for our 100th episode, if that'll make Brad happy. BJ, unfortunately, cannot join us this episode, but she should be back and will be back.
She's next with week. Us in spirit.
She is. All right, so we got a great show today. We are talking to Eric Bressler from Artsploitation Films in just a little bit. So stick around for that. We also have our segments to get into, and I'm really excited about
segments.
our VOD one. So stick around for that right there. But first we need to figure out, find out, or talk about what's on our doorstep.
Oh, yeah.
Boo, yeah.
What you got, Sean? What you got?
Shit, what did I watch?
Pompeii.
No, I did not. Hold on, I had it right here.
Wow.
Here we go.
Just one thing, or what's happening right now?
I thought there was one more, but I can't remember, and I must not have taken notes. It's been a crazy week, but I did want to bring up a couple of flicks that I got from Scream Factory, and one was Extraterrestrial. By the Vicious Brothers. Vicious Brothers.
How many times have you talked about Extraterrestrial?
I talked about watching it on VOD, but I got the freaking Blu-ray.
Oh, the freaking Blu-ray. I feel like we've talked about that film like maybe seven times.
Probably. Like I'm just saying, Blu-ray is a lot of fun. It's an underrated flick. Check it out, and there's a pretty great little special features on there. Also, moving along, I got Return of the Living Dead, the UK Blu-ray. And I think one of our listeners, was it Ron Compostine?
No, it was John Portanova.
Was it John Portanova? It was someone.
Yeah. John Portanova.
They suggested that I check out the UK Blu-ray, because I have the US Blu-ray. Scream Factory's going to be releasing it, but I'm not too confident on their transfer. I'm totally fine with the current transfer as it is. But this has like 5 hours of bonus features, which was worth me tracking down and grabbing. It's Region B locked, but of course all of you have region free Blu-ray players because you're all smart and took our advice. So glad to have this as a part of my collection now, and I'm probably going to skip out on the Scream Factory release.
Is it a better transfer than the MGM?
It's the same. It's the same MGM transfer.
Ugh. So will the Scream Factory one.
Exactly. So
Great on that. Great.
But
the film that actually deserves a really good release. Nope.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I mean, Scream Factory may surprise us, but like I said, dude, I'm not holding my breath. Who the hell knows at this point? The other thing that I got was a steelbook of UK of Reanimator, the Reanimator steelbook. And this has the unrated version, and then it also has the integral version.
Is it the better transfer than the Image Blu-ray?
I believe it is, yes.
Good.
I did not get them both. Oh, yeah, brand new 4K restoration.
Wow.
And then the integral version is exclusive to this Blu-ray, which is not really necessarily a director's cut. I'm trying to see like what they added in that integral version. Do you know?
No. I mean, I'm actually going to pick that up because the Image Blu-ray here sucks really bad.
Yeah, so
any Image Blu-rays suck. That's just how it is.
So those are out. That's what's on my doorstep.
Sweet. Awesome.
Woohoo!
How about you, man?
Right, I actually watched some stuff recently because I have like two episodes where I haven't watched anything. It has been so busy. So I finally got around to Cult Epics, Der Todesking, which is translated into Death King, which I think I saw it, but I don't know. You know, I mean, I saw it now, which is crazy, and I really don't remember anything too much about it. But anyways, of course, Cult Epics, another – everything that they're doing recently has been top-notch, especially with Jorg's films with Necromantics and Necromantics 2, and now we have the third release from him, and also another a documentary. Also, I guess it's known as a shockumentary, which is the making of those three films, which was made back. I guess it's nothing new. It's from the 80s when these films were being made.
That's pretty kind of awesome.
pretty interesting. But anyways, it's an HD2. I think it was made in the 90s. Actually, take that back, not the 80s, because it was made after this, and this was released in 90, I believe. But if you're into Necromantics and Necromantics 2, this is 100% up your alley. If you're not into those movies, I don't know if I can really suggest you watching it. It's simply a film about seven days, seven different kind of deaths, topic of suicide, and actually it's a little hard hitting because it's not exploitation suicide. He's actually trying to make a statement, and he also says it in the intro of the film that he's against it, you know, and it's kind of talking people out of it. It's kind of bizarre, you know, because you watch it, you know, majority of people watch this are wanting people to see that kill themselves, but it's a lot more than that. But it's seven different days, seven different people, and each one is a different story with a, you know, kind of a roundabout, I guess you'd say something about the human body in itself. You know, I don't know. It's a very bizarre film. I think it's definitely one of his, kind of the decomposition of the human body of what happens with these people that kill themselves, kind of breaking it down piece by piece and, kind of showing you the truth behind the matter. I think it's a little bit deeper than which we talk about in Necromantics.
Right.
Necromantics is a little bit deeper than, you know, than we look at, because some people viewed it as a comedy. I viewed it as somebody wanting somebody they couldn't have. I also saw it as, you know, losing somebody to another man, just in a weird, dead way. So, but anyways, this is a HD master, from the 16mm negative. So it, looks great. Same as the other films, something to pick up. I think this is limited to 3,000 copies. So I don't know, if it's sold out just yet, but it's definitely something to pick up because also has a documentary on it. So definitely, another great release by Cult Epics. Another film I have here is from IFC Films, Inner Demons, which is a found footage film about Satan and ghosts. Not bad. Very predictable. Few really, really good scares, though. But if you're in the mood for found footage devil shit, it's up there for you. If you're not into found footage devil shit, stay away, because it doesn't really do anything new. Doesn't bring anything new to the table. Very standard. For found footage fans, it's decent. The next thing I have here, which I was so impressed with this movie, Dark Sky Films released The Last Survivors, which is known as The Well at the festival circuit, but has fantastic cast. Barbara Crampton's in it. John Grease is in it. It's apocalyptic film where water is scarce, and it's almost like a society that has lived there for many, many years. They're trying to survive on. And there's no rainfall at all. Just these well.
Basically, what? California next summer.
Yeah, there you go. So. there's these wells around that they're, you know, getting water from. They're hiding out because, you know, because of the, also the hot sun, everything like that. Well, there's this John Grease. I believe it's Grease. I don't know if it's wrong. He plays the Wolfman and, you know, Monster Squad and Uncle Rico and Napoleon Dynamite. That guy. So all of a sudden, he controls this kind of water, this facility. And he distributes the water. Well, he wants it back, and it's his. So he's going to go to any lengths to get these people off their land and not use his water without permission. That type of thing. Hmm. It's the lead is by this Haley Lou Richardson, who is fucking incredible in this movie. She plays the lead, and she carries this movie on her shoulders 100%. And she does a fantastic job. So basically, she's holed up into this house with her brother who's slowly dying from kidney failure. And it's up to her to try to keep this daily routine of getting water, finding any resources. They have nothing. They just have the clothes on their back and a couple other things. And these people are just going around just killing anybody that steps in their way. And a couple appearing, you know, cameos by Adam Wingard and Simon Barrett, which are fun. But all in all, just a really great apocalyptic movie. It's a little slow moving. It's not. It's very real. That's what I really enjoyed about it. It's just. It's not out there. Nothing crazy happens. Mm-hmm. It's just very Mad Max-ish type thing, but on foot. So definitely a lot of fun, and I highly, highly recommend that you check it out, because it's definitely one for the books of not being forgotten.
Cool.
I'm hoping that it will find its audience.
Yeah, them being on foot makes so much more sense in a post-apocalyptic world, because you know if that happens, like, gas is going to run out fast.
Well, it's one of those things where even conserving ammunition.
Uh-huh.
It's nothing to give away, but she has a shotgun and they only have one shell and they reuse it. Like they pick it up and they package it again. That's and load nice it touch. Back in the shotgun. And it's like those types of little things. It's like, man, you know, in a fucking movie they would have, you know, those was like bandolier things with like, you know, 50 shells and just plugging the shotgun, just shooting aimlessly at stuff. No, it's everything's conserved.
Oh, that's cool.
And rationed. And I really, really enjoyed that about the movie.
Nice.
So definitely something to pick up. I hope it finds its audience. It is a little slower. I mean, it is an indie movie, but it's really, really well done. It's
pretty cheap right now too.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Amazon Dark Sky Films always.
That $9.97 on Amazon. I think I saw it at Best Buy for like $12 or $9.99.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's Dark Sky Films, so you should be able to find it different places.
Yeah.
And now,
here we go.
The real shit. This is by far probably one of my favorite. This will make it in my top 10 of this year. Okay, IFC released this film. It's called The Salvation. It has Mads Milk. How do you say it? From Hannibal?
Oh, Mad Mickelson. I just got that, dude. It was like so cheap. It was like $7.99.
So yeah, it's a Western, which is already up my alley. It has Eva Green and Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Jonathan Pryce. It's got a killer cast. It is an excellent, just batshit. It's not batshit. Just a really fucking good revenge story that doesn't go out of its element. Mad Mickelson, he's Danish. He's an ex-soldier who's been working on getting his family to come to this town and to live with him. And it's been a while for him providing and trying to get this all set up, and finally get into town. And something terrible, 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 terrible happens the first night.
Oof.
And Mickelson does his thing to avenge what has happened, and soon finds out that the man that he has dealt with his brother is a leader of this very sadistic gang that comes into town wanting to know who killed his brother. And they're going to any lengths to find out who did this. And it is fucking great. The only downfall to the film is some of the fire and special effects. They're not fire, most fire and blood. There's a little bit of kind of overdone on CGI, little bit. But it calm down. It's the movie that we're talking about. Not to the point. There's just one fire sequence. It's like, oh boy, that's really bad.
Yeah, that's. I mean, even like 13 Assassins had some shoddy CGI, but that's a fucking badass movie.
Yeah, fire and water is hard to replicate in CGI,
Everybody especially independent in a low budget film.
So, definitely, if you're into westerns, this is definitely up there. The only thing I was a little disappointed in is the soundtrack. It didn't have a very good Western soundtrack. They tried doing it every once in a while, but the real heart of the movie is just kind of the story arc for this character of coming from nothing, who's just hell-bent on revenge. Like I said, if you're into Westerns, this is definitely up there for you. So I highly, highly, highly recommend it.
Very cool. I can't
wait to watch it. It's called The Salvation. Really dumb title, but it's called The Salvation.
I was just browsing on Amazon, and it was $7.99 and Mads Mikkelsen and Western. I was like, shit. That's all I need to know.
It's kind of weird. I had never heard of the movie until, you know, I got a screener copy of it, and I was like, I'll give it a shot. I mean, I'm never turned down a Western, so I'm glad I didn't, because it was fucking great. And that's it. That's all I got. All
right, I'm trying to see how much it is. Oof, it went up to $22.49.
Because people know how good it is.
Wow. I got a steal.
Yeah, you did. I did, too.
Damn. All right, sorry to get everyone's hopes up, but rent it. You can rent it for fairly cheap.
Yep.
All right, today's guest I was made aware of from Brad, because Brad has been pimping artsploitation films for a while now. And so today we have Eric Bressler joining us from Artsploitation Films. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very well. Brad, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. when did you tell us, like, when you discovered artsploitation and that, and then
It wasn't until I saw a film called Combat Girls at Fantastic Fest, I think, like 2013. Yeah. 2000, around there. I think so. And, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, a lot of the films that play at festivals, some of the smaller ones, it's kind of hard to keep up with, because sometimes, like, they're released a couple years later. Sometimes they're not even released at all. Sometimes, I mean, they got like a VOD release but no physical release. So trying to keep up on everything. And finally I saw Combat Girls was getting a DVD release. And then I looked into that, and then I saw Artsploitation. I got really into it because then saw Vanishing Waves was going to be released, which, you know, was another film I saw at Fantastic Fest. And then another one, Wither, which I was very, very excited about, because it was being compared like The Evil Dead, and it was just like a brutal horror film. And finally, like, I was like, oh, shit, get into it, and then got into it, and then the hiatus happened. And I was like, son of a bitch, you know, because this company was releasing films that I was really, really into, you know, hardcore, experimental, but not like kind of like that C grade mentality where it's just about brutality or anything like that. They're incorporating, you know, awesome stories and, you know, kind of, you know, just experimental and challenging, you know, for people to, you know, not everybody is going to like it. It's going to be one of those things. Sometimes these movies I see that either people completely love it or they absolutely hate it. And, I think that's a unique, you know, almost every film that Artsploitation has released, it seems that's kind of where it goes. You know, because even some of the films that I've seen, I remember Toad Road, people were raving about it. I saw it and I was like, what? I don't get it. You know, and it's one of those things where I might have to watch it again, but I was not a fan of Toad Road. But, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just a unique for such a company to be borderline, just kind of like under the radar, picking up kind of these smaller films that are kind of almost forgotten about because they're not the festival favorites, because it's such kind of a split decision that somebody's going through and picking these unique films and giving them the release they deserve. So yeah, it's I absolutely love it. I'm super excited each time that something's released, because I was, when I saw The Treatment, which was one of their recent releases, I saw that Fantastic Fest. I left the theater. It's my number one of last year. And I remember walking out of theater just immediately thinking, like, who the fuck is going to release this movie? Because it's so touchy, you know? Who's going to actually have the balls to actually have an uncut, you know, uncensored version of this movie? And then when I heard Artsploitation was coming back, I was like, holy shit, like, that's the company to actually do it. And, of course, that was on their radar as well. So, you know, it's just a, yeah, it's – you know, I have many questions, so we can go ahead and start.
Unpack, man. Unload it.
Real quick, just to give you, like, kind of where I come in. I was like you. I was kind of following the label and all of the very subversive, kind of risque stuff they were putting out. So I didn't actually become an employee until during the hiatus. So this is around, like, November of last year. And so yeah, during that time we were planning out all of the June and July releases. But before that, I was exactly like you. I was just following the label, really impressed with the stuff they were putting out. So it's been a real pleasure working with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's films that you're not, you know, like, you're not completely in love with, it's just something that you haven't seen before. You know, I think that's the uniqueness of it. They're just not normal films that you would go rent at, you know, Redbox, or, you know, it's just, you're going to see something that is completely off the wall or really, really hard hitting.
Sure. Yeah, like, I didn't get Toad Road either, but I still afterwards, so there was something to it.
Well, the basis behind the film is very interesting, because after I found out, like, they were really doing drugs during the movie.
Sure.
Like, that was like, then I watched, you know, because I didn't go into the movie watching, knowing that. I found that out later on. I was like, holy shit, I need to watch the movie again, because that's insane, because they do drugs through the whole entire film.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, it's just a unique film, but it goes along with everything. Like, even Hidden in the Woods, man, that punches you right in the gut. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's a rough one. And really, I give props to my boss and our former acquisitions director for picking that one up, because nobody was really touching that. And it's incredibly disturbing, but still really rewarding and a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So out of the recent ones, since you've been on board, what's something that's really caught your eye that you've been really, you know,
Well, I was really psyched with what we had planned when I first signed up. So I'd already seen, like, Der Samurai, and was really happy that, you know, I then got to work on it, because it was one of my favorite films of last year. And of course, Horsehead, we knew people were waiting for that to come out. So that was really cool that they had that already. As far as things that I've had a hand in acquiring, I guess the first title would be October's release of Bloody Knuckles. Have you guys seen that one yet?
I've heard about it. I had a chance to watch it and I didn't, but I'm pretty psyched about that one.
I've heard of it only, so.
Oh yeah, well, you'll have plenty more chances to see it. It's a Canadian horror comedy about a you know, a dismembered hand that comes back to life.
Oh, yes.
To assist its owner. But, you know, it's like leagues away from Idle Hands or any other, you know, detached hand film. the director, Matt O, he's pretty well known in the film festival circuit, and he really just set out to offend as many people as he could with this film. So it's a very dark sense of humor and a ton of fun. There's this breakout character. It's this kind of gay S&M superhero who really steals the show. So yeah, really looking forward to that one. That's in October. And then another one that I was just incredibly excited about is this new film called Der Bunker. And that's having its American premiere at Fantastic Fest, which I know at least one of you guys will be at.
Yep, will do.
Yeah, and Der Bunker is incredible. It stars the guy who played the samurai in Der Samurai. Totally different role, totally different film. And yeah, this one, people will be talking about it all winter, I'm sure. It's super, super weird.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. You have two films as of right now, because German Angst and Der Bunker are both playing at Fantastic Fest.
Yeah, German Angst was another one that had my vote of approval. Basically, there's like three of us in the office. My boss, Ray, who's the founder of the company, of course, he has the ultimate, he makes the ultimate decision, but he takes input from the two of us regarding, you know, what we think will do well, what we can market well, and what's just, you know, a real solid film that deserves a release. And so German Angst was one of the ones that I was pushing for, you know, by that one director's name alone, who, I think all of his films are available on Blu-ray at this point.
Yeah, we actually had him on the show not too long ago, talking about necromantics and stuff. So,
how awesome!
But yeah, it's another thing I wanted to ask, because it seems that everything that you guys are releasing is kind of touchy. It's a touchy subject, or it's very unique, or it's just really, really, like I said before, like hard hitting. Like, are you seeking out films like that, or it's just like that's what you guys are attracted to? Is, you know, if you see like something like a normal comedy, like you just pass it up because, oh, that's a normal comedy, or are you looking for things that are kind of pushing the rails a little bit?
Yeah, I think that we definitely all share a kind of subversive mentality. We were all kind of raised on international films and art house films. So I think that we all come from this mindset of feeling like we'd seen it all at this point, I guess. So
yeah.
Whenever something new and exciting pops up, we pay attention. And I think it just so happens that the new and exciting things often deal with explicit or disturbing content.
Yeah.
It's like how many other film labels out there have three releases in one year that deal with like pedophilia? It's like it's as dark as it gets, and we have like three, you know, very accomplished, excellent films that deal with the topic, including The Treatment. And you know, they're all slick, big budget productions, but it's not something that it's not a topic that a lot of other labels would dare embrace.
Yeah, I agree.
See, I give my boss credit for taking chances like that and not shying away from explicit material as long as it's justified in kind of an art context, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting because when you guys came back, we had House of 100 Eyes, Your Samurai, and Horsehead, which I was, you know, I saw Horsehead at Fantastic Fest, so I knew I was getting into that too, and I was actually excited to revisit that because that was one of those movies that it was my most anticipated for the festival, and then I saw it, and I don't know, I think I just hyped myself up a little too much where I wasn't fully satisfied. Like, it seems like that would be something I would be totally on board with. This kind of unique, dreamlike world, you know, film with this like splash of giallo in it, and I was thrilled. And I actually rewatched it when it came in. I did enjoy it a little bit more, just because I my hopes and dreams weren't sky high like originally it was going to be. But with these three films, they're all like, they're just so different, and that was one thing I thoroughly enjoyed, because House of a Thousand Eyes is a found footage, brutal, brutal horror film. Der Samurai is just, I can't even categorize that film. It's just so off the wall and brilliant and beautiful and just disturbing and just so badass at the same time. And then, like I said, Horsehead is kind of like this horror dreamlike sequence giallo film. Just three films that really, really kind of knocked it out of the park. Sure. So I was just kind of curious, because the time frame, House of 100 Eyes came out first, correct?
Yeah, that was actually a bit, maybe like 2 years old at that point. And I think that was just a case of the film being acquired and then the hiatus happened.
Okay.
The boss kind of just sat on the rights, and then that kind of helped us flesh out this like full-time schedule that we have going. You know, since June, it's two or three titles a month, and that's planned all the way through April of next year. So it's good that he kind of sat on some of those films. I think Reckless was another one, which came out in July. That was a Danish remake of The Disappearance of Alice Creed.
Yeah, which is both films are great. Like, I love the original, but this one definitely definitely took it a couple notches different. You know, just definitely a twist that, yeah, it was nice. It's nice seeing a movie that was you're familiar with, but also do something completely different.
Sure. Yeah. Slick but, film. Too.
Yeah. I was just curious of why you answered my question, though. The return with the House of 100 Eyes, because it's not on par with kind of Horsehead and Der Samurai. It's still a fun film. I definitely enjoyed it because it does something found footage films kind of don't do. Mm-hmm. And also the comedic aspect to it.
Sure.
I'm sitting there laughing when I'm supposed to probably be cringing. And I kind of felt bad at the same time. It makes you feel bad because you're laughing at it. You're like, this is not supposed to be funny, but you know, the lead character is just so charismatic.
Exactly.
it's just a unique take on found footage films.
Yeah, yeah, full of guilty laughter. But you know, that's why it works, because it is at its heart a satire, I think, even though it's, you know, played out as like brutally and kind of oriented towards horror fans as possible, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you look back through the history of Artsploitation's catalog and, you know, you're hard pressed to find a common thread. You know, the first release was this, non-narrative Indian film called Gandu. You know, that was followed up by like a, Japanese kind of gangster film, a Russian youth film, and then a, highly sexual coming of age film. And then, you know, Combat Girls came and Vanishing Waves. Yeah, I mean, like, it's hard to find how these films relate other than the fact that a lot of people, a lot of other labels won't take chances on them, and that they are all produced to a certain degree of quality. Like, you know, I don't think Artsploitation has ever really put out a cheap film. There always has to be some sort of craft to them.
Yeah.
And yeah, it goes back to what you were saying at the beginning, like, my boss, he just takes this really like punk rock attitude towards acquisitions, and you know, he kind of turns a blind eye to how well they'll be received. He just kind of concentrates on the audiences that will embrace them. So sometimes you wonder if like turning a profit is his real goal. More of it's just trying to get these films out there.
Yeah, well, that's one thing that I do enjoy seeing for the most part, because a lot of these films, they're not super well known at festivals, and you know, there's always in the festival circuit, there's a lot of more films that, you know, that people enjoy, and you know, like I said, these are kind of, you know, love or hate it. But I think with this line of films, I see a lot of people just blind buying more than anything else I see, and I think that says something for your label, that you've made a name for yourself that people trust. Spending, you know, $17, $20, whatever the DVDs, Blu-rays cost, and taking a chance on something. You don't really see that too often. And we actually have a lot of listeners that have bought, you know, Der Samurai, Horsehead, and The Treatment off of my, you know, kind of small recommendation that, you know, I say, hey, this definitely is a film that, you know, Horsehead might not be the best film in the world, but it's definitely nothing that you're going to see like this coming year. The sure. Same thing with Der Samurai. You're not going to see another film like that, probably ever. something of that nature. So, you know,
yeah, it's really like the theme. That kind of mentality is like the dream of any, you know, record label or film label. You want to establish this, you know, brand, this trustworthy brand, so that people will give your films a try, want to have them all, you know, consecutively numbered on a shelf. You know, and kind of just trust our opinions. And it's like a careful line to walk and maintain. There's, you know, certain titles where I'm just worried that maybe they're just too out of left field for the, you know, repeated buyers. So yeah, you never want to like kind of betray the trust of the public. But luckily I don't think anything has really dissuaded, movie lovers as of yet.
No. No, I think the movies have spoke for themselves. I mean, the only thing is the crazy, you know, the crazy side of the Blu-ray collectors, where they, you know, when you initially did the, is it replicate? I don't even know. You know, you did the BDRs at first yeah. those titles, and that received some flack for some people. And for me, like, I'd always have, I mean, I had older Blu-ray players, and they would never play the BDRs, so I'd always was very wary, and I'm wondering if that's kind of going into it, but these, all the newer players play them just fine.
I hear people, Xbox Ones often have a problem playing them, also, to this day. But yeah, I mean, I could address that real quick. It's just, so there's two ways that you can press a Blu-ray professionally. You can get them duplicated or you can get them replicated. Duplicated is the equivalent of BDRs. Both are done in a pressing plant, you know, in bulk. So the story is that my boss, who has been in, you know, one of the main players in the Philly film world since the late 70s, he's run two repertory theaters. He ran the giant TLA Entertainment Group, a chain of video stores, the Philadelphia Film Festival for 15 years. So yeah, he has this background in film and he knows a lot of people that he's met over all these decades. And, I came on as an employee. I said, we need to start doing Blu-ray. You know, it's what people want. These, you know, there's no reason to bump down the quality of these, you know, giant files we're getting for DVD. Like, let's put them out as purely as possible. And he was very hesitant because he's friends with a lot of distributors, a lot of niche distributors who don't touch Blu-ray. Like, still to this day, they're just afraid of it. And that's maybe because they have very specialized, customer bases. Right. But, so yeah, it took some convincing, but finally my boss agreed, and basically just to play it safe, we did a run of 500 duplicated discs, because you save, you know, like $1,500.
Right. Is there, like, duplication cutoffs, like you can only get up to, you know what I mean? Because I've researched a little bit, but is that a way to keep the numbers down?
500 is the minimum for duplication. Okay. 1,000 is the minimum for replication.
Right, okay.
So, you know, my boss is faced with these two quotes. He's like, we're going to play it safe. We're going to go get these duplicated, and we'll see how they sell. And then luckily, both Samurai and Horsehead, their runs sold out within, you know, I think 3 weeks of the release date. And so we went back to press and got them replicated. So now we have, you know, 1,000 copies of each Blu-ray professionally pressed. And then in the meantime, there was like a small group of very hardcore, I guess they're collectors of Blu-rays. you know, take the medium very seriously. And, you know, I collect Blu-rays. Like, I buy multiple ones a week, especially horror and genre stuff. But I've never even considered the way that the disc is manufactured. But anyway, I found that kind of stressful, and I felt really bad that I let people down who really wanted to see these films. So it really came as a relief when those two initial runs sold out and we could go back and replicate. And, you know, of course, everything from this point on is going to be replicated because we really, you know, we appreciate the support. And, you know, why would you ever offend your customer base when you have the ability not to do so? So really happy that people stuck with us through that whole thing. And, yeah, I did find it stressful, even though, you know, I'm basically kind of, an hourly salaried employee, but still I did take it to heart.
I used to work in like in a clothing industry, clothing line, and we had sent out t-shirts with a misprint one time, and it was just awful.
Oh.
Awful feeling. So I feel your stress for sure. Now you guys are doing a replacement program that people don't want the BDR. I would say if you're a hardcore crazy OCD person, go for it. Otherwise, let them sell the duplicated discs or the replicated discs, please. That's what I would say. But
yeah, it does. You know, we are basically digging into a new inventory that we paid for to replace these discs. So, but I will tell you guys that it's only been six so far that we've replaced.
Okay,
in a week and a half. So
people want also something to complain about.
I mean, you could get into that whole topic. It's not the way the disc is manufactured. It's the cover art, or it's the fact that it doesn't have Spanish subtitles, or it's in the wrong, you know, width case. It's like people will complain, and we'll always be here trying to make them as happy as possible within reason.
I have a mild OCD, or it's actually going away more and more the longer I'm in Blu-ray. But I was very, like I said, very hesitant to duplicated discs. I think just because people think that the replicated will last longer. I know there's all this. You go online and look up like disc rot and things like that, and people are that's the downward spiral. And I have to stop because I don't want to have to go through every single one of my, 1,800 Blu-rays and go check every one.
Sure.
But
that does seem to be the main fear, that the discs degrade over time. And, of course, it's not proven either way, so we just want to make everyone as happy as possible.
We'll check back in 50 years.
Yeah, see exactly.
Everyone's Blu-ray collections are holding up.
Yeah, I have like burn CDs from like college that still play.
Yeah,
me too. Years later.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
same here. Just the fact that chance exists, it's like let's not chance it. Let's play it safe.
Yeah. Well, I do have the Star Wars movies on BDR, the despecialized versions, so I can't be too snooty anymore because
It's for the love of the movies.
Yes,
you're watching
exactly.
The movie. You're not looking at the disc for, 2 hours. You're watching a movie.
Yeah.
That's what counts.
I had to rewire a little bit of OCD-ness, but having three kids kind of helps you just say fuck it every now and then, because you little by little, as you have kids and get older, I guess, you just you give a shit less.
Have you received any flack of the cases yet? Because of the difference in cases, because I know your Samurai was, your standard blue, your actual blue Blu-ray case, and then Horsehead and the Treatment were thicker.
Horsehead and the Treatment are like the PlayStation 3 discs or the cases or something, right?
Yeah.
The Blu-ray label is on a different corner. Oh my god!
Honestly, though, that bothered me too. The blue Blu-ray cases were the result of the printer who just packaged them incorrectly, so we got a refund for those.
Oh, mine are all clear.
Oh, good. So the replicated Der Samurai is in the appropriate clear case, as it should be.
Yes, but like I said, the Blu-ray logo is on the right-hand side.
Oh,
and
I don't
Der Samurai logo is in the center. This could be a problem.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. yeah, then Cub was the thin clear case.
The Cub case is the one we're going with from now on. So if anyone wants to replace their old cases on their own time, of course, that's the case.
Amazon or eBay, people. Just buy yourself a stack.
Yeah,
I do that.
I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for that, because I mean we talk about that type of thing all the time on the show. It's just kind of how it. I'm a Blu-ray collector too, but I'm a Blu-ray collector for the films, not for how they look. I could give a shit,
yeah, there's a lot of people that care about that though, and I have mine organized, according to height, so that kind of plays into that.
We all have a little tinge of the collector OCD. It's sure. At which levels are you going to get all bent out of shape about it, And I think you can get a little annoyed at stuff and, twitch a little bit. But I think being the internet's created such a way for people to just be vocal, almost to just like there's a daily thing to bitch about. And I think, as collectors and as we need to kind of rein it in, like, is this really going to spoil your day? Is it? Like Brad said, I mean, it is about the movie. And how does the number one? How's the movie look? How's it sound? And is this something you'd be proud to show off? Show someone the movie as opposed to it looking in the disc. Like I said, it's taken me some time to kind of get over my my crazy little tics. So
sure. Now, is there go ahead.
I was just gonna tell you. I'll tell you. Every time I look at the Beyond on my shelf, I. I'm sad that I don't have the glow-in-the-dark slipcase. And I just can't shake it. And someday, I swear, I will replace it so that I have that one. but yeah, I know the mentality.
It is gorgeous.
I can empathize.
Now, is there any discussion about going back and releasing some of the older films on Blu-ray at all? Certain films. Because I would, like Wither, I would love to see a Blu-ray of that. just because of how beautiful the blood is. So,
yeah, I can tell you it comes up every couple weeks, and that we will go back and release some, but it will probably be according to sales numbers. So I would tell you that the first two catalog titles that would be Blu-rays would be Clip and Hemmel, because those are by far the best-selling titles, and both of them are still moving like 30 copies every 2 weeks, which is crazy, you know, for films that came out 3-4 years ago now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I would love to see Vanishing Waves on Blu-ray. I'd love to see Wither and Hidden in the Woods. So yeah, hopefully we can get to all of them at some point, but I think we'd start with the guaranteed sellers.
Just start putting sexy girls on the covers no matter what.
I know.
That could be what's going on.
So now, coming up, you have, which I'm super excited about for people to see, is Cub.
Yeah.
That's, that was watching that film in the theater and watching it unveil. It reminded me so much of being a kid watching kid-oriented films. I mean, it's far more, you know, I mean, it's like I said, Monster Squad and the Goonies, but it's completely different from that. It's just, you know, it's just really heavy, just with, you know, like kid survival, which I thought it was. I thought it was a great concept, and you know, just a wonderful horror film, and just a ton of fun. So I'm really, really pumped to see how that does and see how that's received. I personally, I think that would be one of the titles that does better than some of these other ones, just because I think people like the whole child aspect of survival. Because I remember when I Declare War came out, that was kind of a big one for festivals, because people liked seeing kids being represented on the screen, kind of taking charge themselves and, you know, dealing with, you know, whatever obstacles they have to deal with.
Yeah, yeah, it's you don't see children in peril much these days in American films, so yeah, it really does have like a Goonies feel, but kind of, you know, more horror oriented.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the pre-order numbers on that one have been great. So we're really excited for it to hit the streets. We even made up, I don't know if you guys saw those little merit badges we made up.
Yeah, no, they're excellent. They're fucking awesome.
Yeah, those are fun. So if you order that from our website, we throw in one of those badges. But yeah, Cub's one that did really well in the festival circuit, and you know, I was pleasantly surprised when we were able to get it, because I figured that like a lot of labels would be pursuing it. Though, you know what? It did have it does have the foreign language, as some labels view it, issue.
Yeah,
that's another thing about our exploitation. You know, we don't shy away from foreign language films, and 9 out of 10 of our films are not in English. But a lot of distributors do shy away from that because VOD outlets do not embrace foreign language films. It's viewed as a genre, like foreign language, and it is the least accepted genre for VOD outlets, which of course is a problem that we've been facing and trying to overcome. I think Cub's going to do really well, and I'm glad everybody's embracing it. It's on the cover of Rumorg right now, which we were really happy about.
Awesome.
Really slick, well-made film. Yeah, so I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Do you both watch it at this point?
I have not. I'm the one who hasn't watched anything.
Oh,
it's horrible. It's horrible.
Were you the one an episode or two ago said you just don't have time to watch movies anymore?
Pretty much.
Who runs a movie podcast, by the way?
It's I'm getting a bit of more normality here. I was kind of upping my we don't want to get into me, but whatever. I'm trying to better my lifestyle by taking on some healthy habits, and those have caused me to fall asleep at like 9 p.m. because I'm so exhausted.
I'm pretty sure Cub will keep you up.
Nice. But I'm starting to get to the end of that craziness, so my schedule is going to be opening up, so I'll be back to it shortly.
Very good.
But yeah, having a 3-year-old right now is he ruins all the plans, pretty much. He's a little disaster factor right now, but he'll grow out of it.
Do you raise him on horror films?
No, not. I mean, they were. My daughter, she's 10. She's getting there. She wants to watch scarier stuff here and there. She's kind of fascinated by being scared and the whole horror thing a little bit. My middle son, not so much, but he's starting to. We're at Disneyland, and they had a fun at the Haunted Mansion, and so he's starting to get it a little bit, but the little guy, hell no. Not yet.
We were at Monster Mania in Cherry Hill last weekend, you know, the horror convention, and I like to see all of the parents with their little children dressed up. We saw Herbert West and a couple Ashes, and yeah, it was a lot of fun. Nice. I like the concept of the horror family.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my wife's not into horror, so there's a kind of a little butting heads. So the kids will be well rounded. I think they'll be well rounded.
Very good.
Oh yeah, I come from the same thing. So Janice doesn't like hardly. It takes me even just because I actually let her watch The Treatment. She fucking hated me afterwards. Well, she's a social worker, so when she saw it, she was like, "Oh God." She was like, I can't do it. Yeah, I was like, but it's really good though. She was like, well, I guess if you think so. I was like, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's just it's funny to see how kids, because I think I'll let Willow watch Cub. I think she'll have a lot of fun with that.
Cool.
So, you know, it's definitely more of a harder, kids film. I don't even know if you consider it a kids film because there's a lot of bad things that happen in the movie.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I mean, like you said, Kids in Peril, you really don't see it much anymore. And it's actually something that I truly love, those films to watch kids band together in order to survive.
I feel like I watched Lord of the Flies, the remake, at a fairly young age, I think.
Yeah. It's the same thing, yeah. That's right. It was shown in schools, right?
Yeah.
The remake or the black and white one?
I saw the black and white one when I was in high school.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw the remake. That was 1990. I think I saw that a couple years later. So I was junior high or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember back. But I mean, I loved like that movie. We haven't seen that many movies like that with kids, you know, that are definitely R-rated and you know, so I'm. The more I hear about Cub, the more I'm excited to finally watch it.
Cool. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, I'll give you a heads up about this other film real quick. There's this movie doing the film festival rounds called The Incredible Adventures of JoJo. Have you heard of that yet?
No.
It's fantastic. It just played Fantasia. I just programmed it for Philly for this month, and it's about a family. It's a 5-year-old and his infant sister. And they get in a car accident with their mother driving, and she's dead, and they don't realize it. And then they just get out of the car and wander through the woods and encounter all these weird people. And it's like they're in so much peril. Like the little girl sits in a bear trap, and the little boy plays with knives, and it's like you would never see anything like this outside of the kind of independent film community.
What's the name of the film?
It's called The Incredible Adventures of JoJo, and then in parentheses, it's like, and his annoying little sister, Avila. real magical, but very dark fairy tale.
So kind of like a human version of Milo and Otis. Is that what it is? Yeah. Milo and Otis?
Very much so, but with like hobos and criminals. A ton of fun.
On my radar, I'm going to put a note here in the show notes for people to put it on their radars as well.
Yeah. And now, will you be at Fantastic Fest at all this time around, or is that still kind of up in the air? Because I know we talked about it earlier.
I'll be there the 23rd through the 29th.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah, I got a crazy fall. I'll be in Japan the first 2 weeks of September, and then I have that. And then I got to come back to Philly for some big events, and then I'm doing a festival in Atlantic City. Crazy, crazy fall.
How many of these films have you picked up at festivals, or it's just after the festival circuit and they were still sitting there? Or how does all that pan out for you? For example, like, you know, because I mentioned Fantastic Fest again, like Cub, Horsehead, and The Treatment all played at Fantastic Fest 2014. Did you have those acquired around that time, or were they later on? How does that, I mean, how soon do you jump on something like that?
Well, I think sometimes it takes a little while for Ray to warm up to films and he needs our support, or sometimes if he sees something and he really believes in it, he just jumps on it. I think The Treatment was the first out of those films you mentioned that got acquired, and I think Cub was the last. And, you know, sometimes when you show interest, the sales agent kind of makes you wait around for a while because they're either courting other offers or waiting for other offers to come in. We all just took turns up at Fantasia in Montreal last month, and there were a few films that we all immediately agreed on and said we got to get these. I think all of which were kind of in a holding pattern on, just because most likely other people are bidding on them.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then there's some films that you want to immediately acquire. Like, there's this Japanese film that we were all crazy about, and it's doing really well right now, and just, like, the advance they wanted was just way out of our budget, and I did the math, and it's like, oh man, we need to sell 5,000 Blu-rays of this weirdo Japanese film to break even, and it's just like, you know, unrealistic. So yeah, it varies, you know. There's a couple films I saw at Fantasia that I was just crazy about and that my boss wasn't so hot on. It's a real shame because, like, there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, real worthwhile that probably won't get distribution because it's too experimental or just too unique. I was really impressed by the output of the U.S., actually. There's a lot of incredibly weird indie films happening right now.
Yeah, they're doing better and better every year, it seems.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it really comes out of kind of the love for genre films in general, you know? Like, this whole, like, horror genre community really kind of breeds creativity, and you can see it in all these new films coming out.
That's very cool. Yeah, and everyone's so supportive, you know, of each other's projects and stuff.
Yeah, look at Bloody Knuckles. Bloody Knuckles is just packed with references to horror fans, so, like, you know, guys wearing a Diabolic DVD t-shirt, there's a Lunch Meat magazine, you know, sticker on the refrigerator. Like, you know, the horror fans spot these things and, like, kind of feel an immediate connection to the filmmaker. Yeah. And, you know, then it also supports the kind of community in general, which is a great thing. So yeah, the bonus features on the Bloody Knuckles Blu-ray, there's a lot of stuff, like, Matt O came to Philly, so we took him to Diabolic DVD, and so there's a whole bonus feature about him touring their inventory and just kind of, like, babbling about, you know, obscure films with Joseph from Diabolic. There's an interview between Matt O and the guy who does Lunch Meat Magazine. So yeah, there's a lot of kind of horror community people featured in the bonus features, and it's that kind of film. So yeah,
very nice.
It's always nice when the community gets together on that. As I said, though, you know, it's awesome because the horror community can be so strong and, you know, supportive of one another, but it also could be just a place of, like, a cesspool of negativity sometimes.
Yeah, are you guys members of the Blu-ray Horror Maniacs group?
I left a while ago because I can't stand the negativity, so.
Yeah,
I can't remember if I am or not. I think I can't remember.
Like, I think it's valuable as far as news goes, but yeah, those guys get, like, vicious, like, death vicious. It's crazy. Yeah, I get a real kick out of monitoring that board. A lot of times, though, it's more useful than it is humorous.
I think I still am, just to kind of see what's going on, if some of these things pop up on my radar.
I mean, I like staying in a Code Red forums just because I like to see Bill go crazy. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, that's more or less just off the wall craziness. Because it's just the whole aspect of the negativity, just, you know, trashing movies like one right after the other, or just, just negativity in general. There's too much of that in the world. I don't need it in movies too, you know?
Sure. Kind of from a film label perspective, it's actually really valuable because that's kind of like direct feedback as far as what annoys people or what people want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I knew, that was where, like, the whole duplication versus replication dilemma was centered. I mean, that was really the only feedback that I saw on that board.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of them are real friendly. Like, when they're not mad, they, you know, write emails and compliment the releases and compliment the replacing of discs. And yeah, so just stay on their good side.
There you go.
Now, with people that want to replace, now, do they just go to your website for something like that? Because I know we might have a few listeners that have bought those
You just go to the website and email me. It's in the contact page, and I'll send you the details. It's a painless process. The only thing I didn't expect that's been kind of a problem is that a lot of foreign buyers are requesting us to replace. We get a request from Sweden and the UK and Australia, the problem of which is that we do not have the rights for those films in those territories, you know, their own distributors. We want to make everyone happy, but at the same time, it's like we're really not supposed to do business outside of North America. It's a tough line to cross. But we're doing our best to make everyone happy. So.
And those people are probably getting, because you don't ship from your site like that, they're getting probably from Amazon or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. You know, Amazon orders 400 copies of your movie. It's like, like you don't know where the customers actually got it, and you don't really, you know, Amazon gets a good wholesale price, so it's like you're kind of losing that much more money by opening a brand new copy, you know? But again, the goal is to just kind of get through this, make everyone happy, and assure everyone that everything will be replicated from here on out. Growing pains.
Yeah. It was a good old growing pains. You gotta start somewhere. You gotta jump in the game at some point.
Yeah, my boss is really psyched about the Blu-ray sales, especially compared to the DVD. So,
Blu-ray. Yeah, selling out 500, right? Within, you said, how many weeks?
Yeah, I think it was within 3 weeks. And, you know, that was for, Horsehead was English language and horror, but I mean, like, for a German, you know, cross-dresser weirdo film to accomplish that, I think that's something.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, cool. Anything
on the show? Yeah.
Oh, that was fun. Yeah. I'll come on anytime.
Yeah, definitely. I want to run down the releases that are going to be coming out fairly soon. So we got Cub coming out next week, and then German Angst. You said was October.
German Angst is having its U.S. premiere at Fantastic Fest.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Then it's booked for a bunch of other festivals, So that probably won't hit until January or February.
Gotcha. Bloody Knuckles was October.
Yeah, Bloody Knuckles is October. There's another horror film coming out in September that your listeners might be into. It's called Children of the Night. Spanish language, Orphanage of Vampires.
Oh, nice.
It's a ton of fun. Basically, there's like a cult in the town that decides to take on the child vampires, so it all leads up to this big fun fight. Underrated film, did some festivals, definitely deserves a wider audience than it has. So yes, that comes out September 29th on Blu-ray and DVD.
Cool. All right, everyone, make sure you go to artsploitationfilms.com and buy their shit.
Look at
their upcoming releases and do some pre-orders.
Are you still doing that deal with your old releases, like for $100 or anything like that?
Not at the moment, but we will bring it back before the summer's out because we need to free up some space in the office. So,
DVDs are $12.99 from what I'm seeing. So there's some good prices, and even I just bought a few films, and it was pretty painless. You guys keep the prices pretty reasonable, so. That's awesome. Yeah. All right, everyone.
Definitely some films in there. Like I said, Combat Girls and Wither are probably the two big ones that I think that the majority of people will enjoy.
Awesome.
So. Awesome.
All right, Eric, I want to thank you for coming on to the show and talking with us. Have a good one, man. Keep
you too,
in touch.
Guys. Will do. Thanks a lot, guys.
You bet.
See ya.
Thanks, man.
Bye. All right. Now it is time for us to move into one of my new favorite sections we have.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Brad.
Stream screams.
Nate, wake up!
There's something very important I forgot to tell you.
Don't fucking scream at me!
Scream will bring you back.
Don't scream, miss. Don't scream.
Stream screams.
Stream screams.
Dude, you picked a doozy of a movie, man.
Hey, man, I'm 2 for 2.
This is a flick that I've been wanting to watch for quite some time.
Let's preface by saying it's available for what? Like $6.99?
Cheaper than that, man.
$5.99?
Oh, to buy. It's like $5.99 to buy.
Yeah, to buy HDX on Vudu. Yep. So high definition, 1080p quality of this film. It's a Lionsgate film, so there's chances are we'll probably never have a Blu-ray release. But I think it is on DVD. I think it is on DVD, right?
I don't know. It was on Netflix for the longest time, and I had it in my queue, and I was wanting to watch it, and then it was taken off. So when you mentioned we watched this, I was super pumped. This is a – what year did this come out?
Probably 90.
Like 90. It feels like it was 89 or 90, but the movie is called Parents.
Coming soon, Randy Quaid, Mary Beth Hurt, Sandy Dennis, and director Bob Balaban bring you a fresh look at family life. The Lemley family is moving up in the world.
Rise and shine!
But something is eating at young Michael Lemley.
You're not scared of your room, are you?
Michael, the cellar's dark. Everything's dark at night.
His parents think Michael's problem is in his head. But Michael knows it's on his plate.
What are we eating?
Leftovers, honey.
Leftovers from what?
From the refrigerator.
We have leftovers every day since we moved here. I'd like to know what they were before they were leftovers.
Before that, they were leftovers to be.
Michael, there's nothing to be frightened of.
Now, there's a new name for terror. Parents.
Bedtime.
And stars Randy Quaid, Mary Beth Hurt, and Sandy Dennis.
All right. The Parents DVD is out of print. Mm. There is a double pack with Fear on DVD that came out a few years ago, kind of a red carpet thing that Lionsgate was doing, but don't expect seeing that on Blu-ray anytime soon. They don't do Blu-rays. So,
well, dude.
Anyways,
this was my first time watching it.
It's a lot of fun, man.
It was outstanding. Like,
it's just a very, very weird, bizarre movie that just comes out of nowhere.
I would say that this is probably my favorite, other than Christmas Vacation, of course.
Oh God,
my favorite Randy Quaid role. He is.
He's fucking fantastic.
He's
in this
creepy.
Movie. He's so fucking creepy, he's, and he's so charismatic at the same time.
It's incredible how good he is. And the setup is like this takes place in like the 50s, and they're kind of the quintessential 1950s family. He has the horn rim glasses and all, and you know, like Leave It to Beaver type family. But something's wrong, and the kid knows something's wrong as he's getting older. Here,
kid's great too, man. He's just like.
Wonderful.
I don't know how old he is, but he nails this. Yeah. You know, he plays, you know, because it's slowly being unveiled where his parents are getting their meat from, because his parents love to eat and they're eating meat every night. Yep. And I wonder what that meat could be. And it's just, you know, kind of that thing where no one believes the kid, but the kid really has nowhere to turn to because it's his fucking parents.
Right.
You know, like, where do you go? So, just a really just out there bizarre film, but just it's fucking cool, and it's directed by Bob Balaban, who you might not know from his name as a director, but he is such a popular actor.
He's a character actor, man. You've seen him in everything.
Yeah, he's in basically every Christopher Guest movie from you know Waiting for Guffman and you know Best in Show. Moonrise Kingdom, The Grand Budapest Hotel. He works with, Wes Anderson. He's in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I mean, he's like, this guy has an endless, endless fucking resume from filmography. So yeah, you'll definitely know him once you see his face. Yeah, but he's the director of this film.
Yeah, as soon as his picture popped up on IMDb, I was like, oh shit, I know this guy, because He has literally been in everything.
Yeah, he's very, very, very popular, but he hasn't done a lot of films. His only other bigger film that he did, which is just as good as Parents, I would say, is My Boyfriend's Back, which is, you know, a zombie comedy, romantic film. But he's done a lot, directed a lot of TV and TV movies for the most part. But those are the two things that really stick out for him. But this is like this is more horror than there is comedy. It's funny to see it unveil.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's really like it makes you feel dirty. Like when he walks in on his parents, like in the middle of the living room, that's a very like I start sweating. Because it's just like the whole movie, the cinematography and the tone, like there's just a dirty feel about the film. Like everybody feels like they're sweaty because they're all closed up. Like that tie couldn't get any tighter on Randy Quaid.
Yeah,
you know, but it's like he's constantly sweating, and it just makes you feel uncomfortable because that's the whole point of the film. It does such a great job of making you feel that way, making you feel uncomfortable, and you know, just watching this kid trying to find out and discover slowly that his parents might be cannibals.
Right.
So it's just so bizarre. It's such a bizarre film.
I love how they reveal things piece by piece as the kid finds out things. They don't go over, you know, they don't reveal things too soon. It's pretty much almost always through the kid's eyes, which is just a wonderful way to tell a story. I was expecting it to be some sort of horror comedy is what I was expecting it to be. And I think that's why I didn't watch it, when it was available on Netflix. Whenever I would graze past it, I wasn't in the mood for a horror comedy because those are very much hit or miss, but it's like horror. It's not a. I mean, it's hard to classify because it's not a straight horror kind of, flick. But
if you're into the
really
horror
good.
That Adam Rifkin does, I think this is right up there with his stuff, where he wants to touch on comedy, but he hits so hard with horror instead that it's just this uncomfortable feeling that you have. And Bob Babylon does such a good job of kind of encompassing all that stuff that we feel in this film, with the little boy trying, like I said, discovering, you know, and trying to figure out what the hell is going on. What does dad do? You know, because there is this kind of bizarre relationship in the film with his mom and his dad. He's a mama's boy, and he's almost scared of his father,
right?
Which is another uncomfortable thing, because you don't know what's going through his dad's head. There's these very awkward scenes between them, but most of all, it's due to the score that is in this. It has just the score is very odd because it kind of has this 50s like, you know, cha 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 soundtrack at the same time for the opening, but then just like when there's kind of these scenes of the intensity, it's like this grinding noise that just, you know, you just feel your like blood pressure rising. So yeah, it's definitely in a very underseen film. You don't see a lot of people talk about it.
It's ripe for rediscovery. I think it's so cheap, and you can rent it for like, what, $2.99, but it's like you might as well buy the thing and own it.
Yeah, buy the thing, and it transfers decent. I think it looks like what Lionsgate is doing with these, from watching these high-definition films, they're just taking a print, not a negative. They're just taking a print of the film. It looks like they're scanning it, because if you notice, there's a lot of cuts and cigarette burns throughout the films. We saw the same thing with Paper House, and that's what it looks like to me. It looks like they're just taking a print of the film and scanning it. Doesn't look like it's like an up conversion of a DVD or anything, because there's a lot of like grain and scratches and stuff. So, you know,
it looks
film-like,
at least.
Yeah, it's very film-like. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, there's no DNR. There's no touching up. I mean, they look appropriate, I think. You know, it's a 1989 film.
Definitely worth your money. Like $5.99, it looks amazing. Yeah. $5.99 for Voodoo.
Yeah.
So I think you can get it on Amazon as well.
Yeah, it's probably available on any VOD service you got.
Yeah. I think you can buy it for the same price, $5.99, and rent it probably this you know, the same way. But I don't know. I like Voodoo's interface a lot better than Amazon, of course.
It's
but
the,
yeah,
it's
same
the one
price.
Thing from Walmart that I would recommend.
Ooh, nice. That's a good one. So yeah, definitely something to check out. You know, just it's definitely one of those films that needs to be discovered. And yeah, that's one reason I brought it up, because it's one of those films that has always stuck with me, because I remember seeing it as a kid and being just so like grossed out. Like the movie, like literally like made me sick.
This movie would have,
it's not too many films that do that to you.
Yeah. This would have traumatized me if I would have saw it as a kid.
Yeah. I saw it. I would say I saw it when it was a new release, on the shelf. Yeah. At the video store, and I picked it up and I kept on. I remember, because I remember to my mom, I like picked it up and I was like, parents, you know, she's like, if you want to get it, go ahead and get it. And I was like, yeah, parents. I kept doing that. And, you know, I remember watching it and just sitting there like, you know, kind of disgusted. Like I was doing something wrong almost.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very unique feeling watching a movie as a kid. I don't watch, you know, movies with, you know, sex scenes or something like that. But, you know, I didn't feel anything, you know, other than in my pants. But, you know, watching this, it was like, oh, my God, this is so fucking fucked up for me. Like, should I be watching this?
Yeah, it definitely taps into kind of the, you know, a lot of truth to being a kid, you know, in a weird way. Because you never know. You know, where do your parents go to work? You don't see them, you know, so much. You know, as you're growing up, and you know the dad comes home for dinner, and that's the only time of interaction you have with him, and you know, it's kind of a weird satire on the 50s culture too, in a way, you know, and it's just it's very smartly done, and I like I said, it kind of blindsided me with how good it was, you know, I was expecting just some dumb horror flick or something, but. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
I mean, it's a wonderful, like, very, very dark comedy.
Yeah.
But it's more horror than anything out there.
This, I would say, would be dark comedy done right. You know, it's the comedy is there in satire, but it's very low-key. It's not, hey, look, we're a comedy, you know. There is humor there, but it's very dark it's just well done. So do you think Lionsgate, for all their catalog kind of horror flicks, do you think they're kind of doing this? Because they're just bypassing the Blu-ray thing. They don't, you know, as far as their catalog titles go.
Like, I don't know what their deal is. I mean, they have obtained, because this is a Vestron title, which I loved seeing that logo pop
up
in HD. Oh, they didn't put Lionsgate in the front of the film. They just had
fantastic.
The old Vestron, which makes me think, like, that's an old print.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what their deal is, because they have so much under their belt.
Mm-hmm.
For any horror fan that has the movie, you know, VHS on their shelf, anything with a Vestron label, which is a shit ton, and even our next film that we're going to talk about is a Vestron title, which is owned by Lionsgate. But just so many. I think even like the Trimark films and stuff like that, Lightning Video. I think Lightning Video was obtained by... I think that was obtained by Lionsgate. I think Troma got us some of those films too. Hmm. But anyways, you know, I think IDE was one of them, because that was like Girlfriend from Hell. So IDE was picked up by Lionsgate. So basically, when Lionsgate first came around, they were a direct-to-video company. I don't know if a lot of people realize that. I was working a Blockbuster at the time, and they had this generic lion that popped up, and it just, you know, would circle around with this green background. It would be Lions, one thing, and another word, gate, entertainment, and, you know, just really generic, you know, horror films they would release. And then they hit it big, like with Cube, I think was one of the, and American Psycho, I think was another one.
Yep.
And that really put them on the spot. And I remember reading in like some video magazines, like at the store, Blockbuster I was working at, that they went by and they obtained all these like rights to these companies that were going out of business, kind of like what Troma did. Troma did the same thing. That's why they have so much in their catalog that isn't really Troma films. It's just their Troma, I forget what they call it, Troma Library, whatever the fuck it is. They ruin things. But I was like, oh, shit, you know, awesome. Well, not really awesome, because the movies kind of were buried. So I've heard that Chopping Mall, that's a Lionsgate title, but apparently that's getting a Blu-ray release that we've been hearing about for about a year now.
Yeah.
So
come on, Jim.
Yeah, I don't know what their deal is, because I think they know what they have, and they're taking the time to put things like this on demand. I don't know if, yeah, maybe it's just, because you got to think, Lionsgate is being as a big company as they are. They're not small. They don't want to license their films out because they don't want to get into that realm. So are they going to mass produce 5,000 Blu-rays of Parents that's probably going to sell like maybe 200-300 copies?
No.
Slap it on VOD, do it HD, there you go. Doesn't really cost them anything. They don't have to promote it. They just have that little bit of money trickle in.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not investing, you know, $10,000-$12,000 in a pressing of Blu-rays when they can easily just put it online.
Right.
So I think they're using that business model for this stuff, which is, it's fine by me. As long as I can have the film, you know, HD, I'm completely fine with it. If I can't get, you know, a physical copy of the movie, I would love it. But with stuff like this, like, it's time for some of these films to be, you know, rediscovered.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a blast. I mean, because some of these films that are owned by Vestron and ID are some of my favorite films of all time. And, you know, I'm happy to revisit and be able to talk and these movies be obtainable and not just on VHS that no one wants to buy or an out-of-print DVD that goes for $80. Yeah.
Unlike our next film here. Let's jump into our next
Our
next segment
here. So, See Parents, Vudu, $5.99, buy it, HDX.
Do it.
It's great.
Do it.
Nikki.
Well, here we are at last. Right where we ought to be. Video.
Oh my God!
So yeah, our next film here.
Oh, man, this was so frustrating because I wanted to try to find it, and I had the hardest time trying to find a copy of this flick, and by the time I found something that could possibly work, only the sound played. So I had no video.
Yeah.
So I was pretty, you know. So we're talking about The Kindred from 1987.
Calm down, honey! Hold on a minute!
The Kindred. We are not all the same creature under the skin.
Brad,
and not the TV show.
Right. I am going to turn it over to you because I've seen YouTube clips, but not the full film, and I'm dying to see this damn thing.
All right. This, I don't understand how this film isn't bigger than it is. Or it's not. I shouldn't say that. It's just this film is, like, if you want to talk about an underrated monster movie, this is it. This movie is directed by Stephen Carpenter. He's only done a few movies in his life. He did The Power, The Dorm That Drip Blood, and Soul Survivors. All great films. I'm a big pioneer of fucking Soul Survivors. I get shit for that all the time. I fucking love that shit. I thought it was great. And he, like, has these, like, long, like, he did, like, Dorm That Drip Blood was, like, 82. The Power was like 85, and then he did The Kindred like right there, and then he came back like 2001, did Soul Survivors. He has written some movies, like he did, I think, The Service of Twilight screenplay, but then he had like some weird shit, like Martin Lawrence movie or something like that. God, what was that movie where he fucking hit a diamond in a building?
Oh,
and he had like Get It Later or some God, shit.
Some bullshit.
Well, anyways, he wrote that movie. And then he wrote some movie with Samuel L. Jackson and Eugene Levy, whatever that name of that. I can remember everything for like horror titles, but when it comes to comedies like 2007, nope. I can't remember shit. But anyways, he written though, it was really bizarre. But anyways, I've followed his career for quite some time, not related to John Carpenter.
Blue Streak.
Yeah, that's it.
That was it. And so, the other one was The Man. I've seen them both. They're not that good.
You would have seen those.
Blue Streak is okay for a Martin Lawrence comedy. Sorry, proceed.
Oh. So The Kindred is a really fucked up story. It's basically this woman is dying, and she tells her son to go destroy all this, like, lab work, and to destroy, well, she mentions that she has a brother. Well, the brother's not human, it's a fucking creature, and it starts killing everybody. And that's basically the premise of the movie. Nice. Rod Steiger, Steiger, however you say it, is in it. But it's one thing that sucks about this film that it deserves. Oh, this is our segment, VHS. What is it?
The intro handled it. The intro handled it. We're fine.
Video. Oh, wait, no. Oh, my God. Whatever it is. I can't remember. I need VJ here to do it.
We'll let the intro do it. That's why I didn't say anything. The intro handles it all.
Oh, well, you didn't intro. Did you intro the movie? I don't remember.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I was so excited. I was staring at the Kindred poster.
Staring at the Kindred poster, masturbating.
Well, I'm just saying, like, as far as special effects goes, out of all the monster movies from the 80s and even the 90s and even today, this is by far some of the best special effects that you'll have seen in a fucking monster movie.
Yeah.
I'm talking about equivalent and better than The Thing.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah, no, totally, dude. Like, the special effects in this movie are absolutely incredible. And the thing that sucks about this movie is that it's just so worn down from all the copies and not having any other release other than VHS. It's just so goddamn dark. And you can't really enjoy it to the fullest. I mean, I still have a tape that's in pretty good condition. And I frequently watch The Kindred just because it's that fucking good. And it's just bizarre that this film hasn't kind of erupted in a huge cult following. Some people do mention it. There was, I think there was some talk about Synapse releasing this film, and there was this huge rights issues, and then all this shit came up. And I think it has, like, one thing that was mentioned, that John, the guy that mentioned Return of the Living Dead, John Portanova, he mentioned about kind of other countries have, because he mentioned that there's a German, I think it was German release of Paper House on Blu-ray.
Right.
So I don't know if we want to go into each every release where it has been released. It has this Swedish DVD with no English subtitles. You know, I don't want to get into all that bullshit. But anyways, we're mainly talking about these films for the U.S. releases only. Just because a large portion of our listeners do not have all region players. And sometimes going in a blind buy, spending $20, $30 on a film from another country, importing it, it's kind of costly. So by other means, you might have to find this on some other site or something. So anyways, but The Kindred is just a very basic story about how this kind of experiment gone wrong gets loose and just starts killing people. And as it kills, it gets bigger. And it starts off as kind of what I love the poster, because the poster is this little baby's bottle with this fucking creature inside. And by the end of the film, the thing's fucking huge. And, like, it's just, like, I can't even tell you how, like, it's just so messy. It's it's just so wet that the creature is. And it's just so organic, and the way it moves and the way that it kills people, and just the sequences where it actually is in action. It just looks so fucking good. And there's absolutely zero CGI or fucking optical effects in this movie. It's just pure, just brilliant special effects. And
Director was he's only done a couple other things. He's done Ice Pirates and Ticks.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, he didn't do a lot.
Yeah.
So it's kind of bizarre that this, like, I wish you could look up HD screenshots of the fucking monster, because it looks so good. I'm actually looking it up right now. I just want to see, like...
So all the screen captures I found were all, like, VHS-type screen grabs.
Right, but I mean... God, there's, like, nothing.
This
sucks so much.
Like, I know, like, someone needs to get the rights handled.
This movie's lost. It truly is. Like, this is one of these movies that could easily be lost in the next 10 years.
It's not even easily found on YouTube. Like, if you try to look for it, it takes you to these weird, shady sites that I was like, ugh, I'm not gonna bother with those, you know, so.
Yeah, and it's bizarre, because this is definitely one of those, it truly is a great movie. And it's not one of those, like, oh, it's like Girlfriend from Hell, where it's corny, it's, you know, has a small following. No, The Kindred's up there with all these other, like, horror monster movies, and it just kind of just doesn't exist. And it really does suck, because it truly is one of those. It would be a huge cult following. Yeah, I mean, totally. This would be, and every time you mention it, no one knows. People get it mixed up with, like, there's another movie where there's this the Prophecy. It gets mixed up with The Prophecy, and there's also because it has that fucking creature like in an egg.
Yeah,
and there's also I think it's The Unborn.
Yes.
There's another movie called, is it Progny?
Something like that. You're on the right track.
Is it Progny? Progeny? I forget the Progeny? That makes sense, because that's an actual word. and there's
yeah,
also
Progeny, 1998.
Proteus, I think it is. Which is like an alien and egg. All these films kind of have like the same cover art, just a little bit is like some fucking creature, like in some, you know, entrapment or, yeah.
But it's all, it's all ripping off the original Aliens.
Aliens?
Alien.
Just the egg?
Like, yeah, the egg. Monster and egg.
I guess so. I guess, if you say so, Sean.
I guess the alien poster was just an egg cracking, so never mind. Bad example. I'll own up to it.
But you know, it's a film that has, you know, a decent story. Great. Rod Steiger does a great job. Everybody in the film is you know, decent. And the thing that really stands out of the film, and I would love to see it in HD, is the cinematography. It's like I said, it's a little too dark for VHS, but you can. During the daytime, you can see how this movie shot. Even the sequences with the creature, how the camera maneuvers around it, how, you know, the angles that it's filming. It looks fucking great, and it really truly does suck that this film doesn't have at least a DVD release. I think it has an Australian DVD release. However, I've heard many, many times the bootleg VHS. So don't spend your money on that, because I don't think it's legit. So, if you can, try to find The Kindred by any means necessary. I don't think it's inexpensive on VHS on Amazon.
VHS is like $35. I mean, it's not for brand new, you know, so it's not bad.
Yeah, well, yeah, when you're used to buying VHS tapes for like 50 cents.
I'm saying, like, this seems like a movie that would end up on one of those, like, big horror collection packs, you know, that...
Yeah, and as it should, but it's just like Lionsgate just completely forgot about this movie, because they have released like those eight horror movie packs, like they put like Slaughter High, Class of 1999, like Chud 2, 976 Evil Part 2. They put them on there, but it's just one of these films that you think that would have, it's good enough to be there, but Chud 2, 976 Evil Part 2, Slaughter High, they're all more popular than this movie. And this movie, not better than Class of 1999 or Slaughter High, but this movie is way better than a lot of Lionsgate films, especially, from this label, Vestron, and, you know, IV, all those films they acquired. Like, this is definitely one of those great films. And it's really bothersome, because this is a film right now. This is the prime example of why piracy would work for something like this. This film is lost to an extent. Yeah. Like, Lionsgate holds the rights. They probably have an original print of the film, maybe. Like, but this could be a film where all the negatives are lost. There's no DVD. The VHS is scarce. You have to fucking pay, $35 for a tape. You can't even find it on YouTube, because no one's uploaded it on YouTube. There's a couple sites that if you belong to...
All the shady sites have uploaded a link. It takes you to another website that I'm not signing up for.
Yeah, don't do that.
No.
So, but anyways, it's just, it's really bizarre that films like this kind of get, thrown under almost the bus and just gets run over and then never heard or seen of again.
Well, this is on my bucket list to track down and at least watch. So I may have to get my VHS player out of the garage and, find a tube TV. Actually, I have one in my garage and, try to find a copy on VHS.
Yeah, man. I'm
dying
just
to
like,
see it now. God damn it.
No, as far as somebody that loves practical effects, Sean, I'm talking about yourself in that situation, because you always, like, this is like one of these movies that you'll watch and your mouth will be at the fucking floor the whole entire time, because you're going to wonder how they fucking did that. I have pictures in my head of the thing like this one person gets infected and they have like gills on their fucking face and that's how they're breathing and shit. And, it has like these tentacles that go into like people's mouths and around their neck and just like impale them. You know, there's this one sequence where this chick's in a car and it just wraps around her neck and you can see the creature in the back and like they just like pour into her mouth and you're like, what the fuck? Like how are they doing this? It looks like there is another DVD that was released in the UK, but it says that it's still one of those things that had it was not a very good transfer. It was mostly just a bootleg again. So yeah, it's like
the original negative must be lost or something. All prints, somebody must own it somewhere.
But it's even bizarre that not even another country has released this.
Yeah, no, I know. That's what I'm like.
So it's just, I don't know, man. It's just a weird thing all around of being unavailable. It looks like that Kindred DVD is a bootleg.
If any of you have any connections, let us know.
If you have a decent copy of the Kindred on another format, let us know, because we'd like to know where you got it. Because, like I said, the VHS is a little dark. There's there is kind of a known like DVD rip online. Talking about piracy, it's kind of funny, but this is something that it's the only way to see it. And it really sucks.
Yeah.
So, but anyways.
Cool. All right. That's The Kindred from 1987. And all of you are frothing at the mouth. Check this out now. I know you are, just like me.
Yeah.
Legitimately, I am. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's show. I want to thank all of you guys for listening. I'm a bit sad that BJ's not with us today. It just doesn't feel like a complete show.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, right?
Cry myself to sleep tonight. But she will be back in full force next week. Let's see. I want to thank oneofus.net. Check out their other shows. Huge thank you to Coffee Shop of Horrors. I just got my next batch in, so we'll be having another giveaway. Jovi, you'll be getting your box soon from the last time. I'm really sorry. so use the coupon code Screamcast to get 10% off. The coffee smells so good. It's like sitting right here in the in the room with me. Also, grindhousevideo.com, or what is it? Grindhouse Video. What's his website for Grindhouse Video?
I don't know. I just go there.
You can go there, but I gotta give people the website here. Grindhousevideo.com. Easy. Use the code Screamcast10. To get a discount there as well. And check him out. He has a lot of good stuff. I'm about due to place an order with him myself very soon. And go to our website, thescreamcast.com. I have stickers I need to put up there. I apologize, everyone, for not putting them out there. But if you want stickers, just hit me up. And I can, before I get them put up on the website, I'll let you know how much they are. They'll be cheap.
So it looks like the Kindred actually had a laser disc.
Oh,
And you can buy it for $30. So if you have a laser disc player, that's probably the best quality. If anybody like knows how to rip something like that, I hate to promote piracy, but like you need to get that movie out there, man. It's not easily seen. You can't obtain it.
We may have to start a Facebook group, Save the Kindred.
Yeah. Something.
I don't know. All right. Like I said, thescreamcast.com, that's our hub. You can find everything there, our Twitter links and Facebook and all that stuff. I thank all of you guys for listening. Leave shit in the comments. Talk to us.
Give us reviews on iTunes, a podcast, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, if you want to say nice stuff about us, feel free.
Or mean things.
No, people do that on their own. All right, and with that, all of you guys have a great rest of the week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, don't tell me you're leaving. The party's just begun.